Let's just have a word of prayer before we read from this passage. Father, we want to thank you that on this Easter morn we can praise and worship our risen Saviour. And we are utterly dependent upon him as we come to your word now. We can't glean anything of any worth from your word unless your Spirit comes and helps us. And we do ask that as we open the pages of this precious book that you'd speak to our hearts, you'd quicken your word to us. Those things that are relevant to each one of us will be written in large letters upon our heart. Lord, help us to respond aright as well. Give us grace this morning, we pray. Amen. Well, just reading, we'll read from verse 1. There's only one verse we're going to be looking at, really, but we're going to start from verse 1 to 9 just to get this in context. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Well, isn't it marvellous, first of all, that just struck me in that verse 8, that we can rejoice this morning even though we haven't seen him physically. We've seen him with our hearts. We've seen him with faith. And we know that he is risen and ascended. And we have a tremendous joy in our hearts this morning as we come before him to worship him and praise him for all that he is and all that he's done. But we want to look at this verse 3. So can we look at verse 3 again, please? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, we are celebrating this morning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment, I want to just look at something of what has sprung from that for us as believers. One thing in particular is on my heart to speak about. But first of all, let's just have a look at the resurrection, what it actually demonstrates. And I'm sure there are more things that you can think of, but just some of the things that I've jotted down here. First of all, it demonstrates that God the Father has accepted his Son's sacrifice in my place and your place. God has accepted as full payment, and there is nothing else that you and I need to pay. Praise God. It has been accepted in full. And that's what the resurrection is demonstrating. It's demonstrating that the Lord Jesus is victor. Victor over the grave, over death, over his enemies. But not only that, because he is victorious and the victor, we can be victorious as well. And we know that one day we will come to that resurrection life as well. Thirdly, it shows and demonstrates that the Lord Jesus was perfect. Absolutely spotless. Death had no legitimate hold on him because he was spotless. And the enemy had no hold upon his life. And therefore, he was able to rise again. So those are things to demonstrate. But I want to look at what God has caused to happen because of the resurrection. And there are far more things than these two things I'm going to mention this morning. But these are the two things that come out of this verse. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. First of all, caused us to be born again. Isn't it marvellous? That because of the resurrection, you and I can be born anew. We can come again. We can be born again, rather, to a new life. God isn't in the business of reforming the old life. So if you're sitting there this morning trying to make yourself a better person, forget it. God isn't interested in making you a better person. God wants to give you new life. He wants to give you the life of his Son. He wants to give you that resurrection life. And he would do that. And I trust that many of you are living in the good of that this morning. That you know that that old man, your old life, is dead. And of course, to come into that resurrection life, we need to leave that old life behind. God is not in the business of reforming. God wants to cause every man, woman and child to be born again. To be born from above. To have that new birth and enter into the new life that he has for each one of us. So that's what God wants to cause for each one of us. If you're sitting there this morning, you don't know that new birth, you don't know this new life, then friends, reach out to the Saviour this morning. He's alive. He's waiting for you to reach out to him. And as you reach out to him, he is more than able to cause you to be born again and to give you that new life. Well, the main thing on my heart this morning is this living hope that the Lord Jesus has brought us into. What a wonderful thing that we don't hope like the world hopes. There's such a funny word in the English, isn't it? When we hope for something, we're not certain it's going to happen. Now, I'm going to Wales today and I hope it's not going to rain there. It's not a very good hope. If I'm fairly sure, I'm going to be disappointed. But I can hope against hope that it may be dry there. And we have these hopes, don't we, that are built on very shaky things so often. But our hope, the hope that we talk about here, is a sure expectation. It is something that is certain. It is a sure expectation that we have that is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his faithfulness, upon what he has done for us at Calvary. It's not built on anything else. And because it is built on such a sure foundation, it is a sure and certain thing that exists in our hearts. And we're going to look at that briefly this morning. Isn't it interesting? This is a living hope. It's a lively, I think the King James has that, it's a lively hope. That gives the impression that it's active. It's not something that's dormant in our hearts and not achieving anything. The hope that God has put in our hearts, it produces something in us. It should produce something in us. If it's alive and what it should be, then that hope that is within, that certain and sure hope that we have, produces things in our lives. It is life. It is dynamic, friends. And it should have evidence. The evidence of that should be seen in our life. What is this hope about then? Well, one or two passages that we could look at. I probably won't look at all of these. But Titus talks about the hope of eternal life several times. See, our hope primarily is a future thing, isn't it? Something we don't see with our eyes physically now, but we see with the eyes of faith. Our hope is something that we don't see yet, but it is hope of an eternal life. It is an eternal hope. It is something, it's one of those three things that mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, those three things that abide. Faith, hope and love. One of the things that will abide forever. It's there in us for eternity, friends. Because it's built upon the Lord Jesus, the eternal Saviour. And all that he's accomplished at Calvary. And it comes about because of his resurrection. So our hope is an eternal hope. It's a future hope. But our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3. We've got quite a few scriptures this morning. But they're all in and around this sort of New Testament area here in the epistles. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. Let's read verse 2 as well. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labour of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is an eternal hope, it's a future hope, but it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no hope outside of him. There is no hope for any man, woman or child outside of Jesus Christ. Not in any other religion, in any philosophy, there is no hope. In fact, the Bible talks about that in Ephesians 2, talking about the believers there, that when they were apart from Christ, they were without hope and without God. The two things go together. If we're without God, we're without hope, friends. The only hope a man and woman can have is in Christ. There is no eternal hope, and there's no assure and certain assurance that we can have for the future outside of Christ. It's only in Him. Now, do you have that this morning, friends? Do you have that sure and certain hope for the future in your heart? If you do not have it, then you need to look to Christ. Don't look anywhere else. You won't find it anywhere else. Don't look to a Christian religion. You look to a man. You look to the Lord Jesus. It isn't found in Bethel Christian Assembly as a church or an assembly. It isn't found in the church down the road. This hope is found in Christ. And in Christ alone. And it's to Him you have to look. If you want that future hope, that future assurance of your security, you need to look to Christ. If you look anywhere else, you will be sorely disappointed. You won't find it anywhere else. It's only in Christ that we can find that hope. Well, this hope, one or two other things. Turn with me to Romans 15, please. It's a well-known passage, Romans 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to abound in hope, not just to have a little bit. He wants us to abound in it, because this is the God that we serve. He's a God of abundance. He doesn't just give us a little bit on Monday and then say, make this last the whole week. He wants to fill us with hope, that living eternal hope. And how does He do it? Well, there's several things mentioned here. It talks about in believing, so that you will abound in hope. Friends, are we trusting in the Lord Jesus? The tense here is a present continuous tense. It means we go on believing. It's the same in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes or goes on believing in Him. We are to go on trusting, go on believing in Him. If we're to know that living hope alive and strong in our hearts. If we trust in anything else, or if we're tempted to look anywhere else, and we start to put our trust in any formula. Even as believers we can do that. If we're not putting our trust in the living Lord Jesus, day by day, seeking to walk with Him, that hope will diminish. It will fade. It will not be what it should be. And therefore God will not be able to do in us and through us what He wants to do. You see, we need to be believing, friends. Daily trusting in the Lord Jesus. In that relationship with Him on a day-to-day basis. And it's in the believing that that hope remains strong. But also it talks about there, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we know this hope strong in our hearts. We need to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we need to go on being filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit this morning? Well, you need to be, friends. We need to know that infilling and that baptizing with the Holy Spirit so that we can go on in hope at serving Him as He wants. So, friends, we need to be living closely with the Lord Jesus, believing in Him, trusting in Him daily to know that that hope doesn't wax cold. And we have several scriptures that tell us that that hope can, in fact, waver. It can grow weak. Let's look at one or two of them. Hebrews 6. Actually, it's Hebrews 10. Hebrews 6 in a minute. Hebrews 10, first of all. Let's read from verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. There can be a weakening of this hope in our hearts and lives, friends, if we're not trusting, if we're not believing, if we're not living close to the Lord, if we're looking elsewhere, if we're caught up in the things of the world, then this hope that should be burning and active and lively in us can grow weak and lose something of its life. And we'll see something of the effects when that happens in a moment. But the Lord wants that hope to be lively in us. He wants to be dynamic. He doesn't want us to waver. He wants us to remain strong. And it talks there about holding fast the confession of our hope. Well, Hebrews 6, just turn back a couple of pages, talks about something similar at the end of Hebrews 6. Let's look at that as well. Excuse me. Verse 17, in the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Did you see there's a taking hold of the hope? But then in Hebrews 10 there's a holding fast to the hope. Friends, the onus, in a sense, is on you and I. God puts his hope in us by his Holy Spirit, and he will go on doing that. But we can let go of it. There's an onus on you and I to lay a hold of it and to keep fast, to hold it fast. God isn't going to force it on us and keep it there. There's an onus on you and I, as believers, to live closely with the Lord Jesus, to live in that close relationship with him, to live in a trusting, believing relationship. And as we do that, that hope will remain strong in our lives. So we need to lay a hold of that hope. And it goes on to say one or two things there about hope. We'll look at that at the end of that verse in a second. But friends, God wants us to have that hope burning strong in our hearts. And then Colossians 1 verse 23, you might want to turn it up, so I'll just read this to you. If indeed you can, slightly in mid-sentence here, but read it from you. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So again, there's that idea that we can move away from that hope. That hope can be weakened. We can waver in that. And we know that ourselves. If we're honest with ourselves, friends, we know that to be true, don't we? There can be times in our lives when that hope is not as strong as it should be. It's not what it should be. However, God would have us come back and lay a hold of it and hold fast to it, so that hope is lively, it is living, it is strong in our hearts. And God desires that so much, because when our future hope is not what it should be, that future hope that has sprung out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it's not what it should be, our ministry, our witness, our lives are affected by that adversely. I want to look at three or four things now from the scriptures, how that is affected and why we need to have this living hope and why we need to guard it and not let anything diminish it or cause it to be diminished. And again, there are so many things that could and would cause it to be diminished, but we need to hold fast to it. One of the things that's come to mind, I was going to mention this, one of the things that causes our future hope to be diminished is to have our eyes set on this earthly plane and nowhere else. And there's much emphasis on this in the church. Such an overemphasis, I believe, where all we talk about is trying to better the life, better the situation around us, better the world around us. Now, of course, God can use us to do that. But if that's our goal, friends, things are skewed. And we won't have that future hope. That will be diminished within us. Our hope is in eternity, in a new world, in a new heaven and a new earth. Not on this old earth, which is destined for destruction. Friends, let's get our gaze right. Let's make sure that our future hope is burning in our hearts. Some would say, and I've heard this said, you know, if we're too heavenly minded, we're of no earthly use. I would say that's rubbish. If we are heavenly minded, we're of more use to the Father than anybody else. God will use you and me far more if we have our future hope as our goal before us. It's when that is not what it should be that we get all skewed and we get everything out of place. And God can't use us as he wants to use us. So let's make sure, friends, that we do have a right perspective. And we don't get taken up by all that's happening around us on this earth. We are but pilgrims passing through, aren't we? And the older we get, the more we realise that. That we're not here for eternity. We're here for a very short period. And some of the saints down through the ages have known that. Particularly when they've lived in difficult, hostile environments. Now we're quite fortunate, aren't we, that we don't have the persecution that many of our brothers and sisters have. But it's so important, and they know, those that are living in such an environment, that that hope does not diminish. And you can read many testimonies of those that have lost their lives, even recently, just reading a few months ago, of a young 15-year-old boy told that he could save his life if he pledged allegiance to Islam. He said, no, my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was killed. He lost his life. Now, if that boy had not had his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and the future that is there for him in heaven, he would have succumbed. He would not have withstood. You see, his hope was in Christ. He had a right perspective. Friends, we need to have that right perspective. We need to understand that this life down here is temporal. It is but for a short time. We are missed, aren't we? One moment we're here, the next we're gone. We need to understand that. But while we're down here, let's live with our eyes on eternity. Then God can use us as he wants to use us. So what are these things? Well, Hebrews 6 again. Some of the things that are produced by this living hope, if you like. What's the fruit of it in our life? What does God want to see? Well, Hebrews 6 and verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Several things there. There's a need for diligence in the Christian life. There's a need for diligence in our walk with the Saviour. So that hope does not diminish. There is a full assurance of hope it talks of here. And again, it comes back to what we said at the beginning. This hope is sure. It is certain. It is an expectation, if you like. We expect something to happen with a certainty because of who the Lord Jesus is and all that he's done. But you notice what that produces, what it should produce. It should not produce sluggishness in the Christian life. Our life should not be sluggish, friends. That word could also be translated slow, languid, or lazy, indolent, so weak. Those are the characteristics of someone who has lost their hope. When our hope is built on Jesus Christ, when it is living in our hearts, friends, we won't be any of those things. There will be the fruit of a life that is quick to serve the Lord, that is not lazy and sluggish, that wants to serve him in everything and to do his will. So there's the first fruit, friends. God wants us to be serving him, not in any of those ways. Well, the second thing, in 1 Thessalonians 1, the verse we looked at earlier. Well, let's read verse 2 and verse 3. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labour of love and steadfastness of hope. There is a steadfastness that God works into our life when our hope is fixed on him. There is a perseverance that God gives us, that we don't throw the towel in at the first sign of difficulty, that we are willing to press through in difficult times. And I don't know whether you're facing difficult times. I know some in the body are. But I can guarantee if you've not faced difficulty as a believer, you will face difficulty. You will face trial. That's part and parcel of being a believer. God puts us in these places so that he can refine us and train us and teach us and build us up. But when our hope is on the future, upon what Christ has done and what he holds for us in heaven, that inheritance that is ours in heaven, when our hope is placed there, friends, then we will persevere. God will enable us to persevere by his Spirit. When there is no hope, we will not persevere. When that hope is diminished, when that hope is weak, we are far more likely to throw the towel in. Now, I remember hearing this little story. It's a true story, I think. It's an experiment scientists were doing with some rats. And the rat was put in a bath of water in total darkness. And within a minute or two, the rat sank. Now, for those animal lovers amongst you, I think they did save the rat. It didn't die, but it was drowning. It had given up all hope. But when a ray of light came into that little tank where the rat was, the rat swam and he swam and he swam and he swam for hours. You see, when our eyes are upon the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are looking to him, when our hope is with him, we won't throw the towel in. But when we have lost hope, when we've given up, if you like, we will throw the towel in. So friends, there's a perseverance and a steadfastness that is ours for the taking, if you like, when this hope is alive in us. So let's guard that hope. Let's hold fast to it. Let's not let anything put it aside and cause us to dispel with it. We need to hold fast, friends. There is a steadfastness and a perseverance that is found nowhere else. There's nothing else that will see you through difficult times other than the Lord Jesus Christ and that hope that is in him. Well, Hebrews 6, back to Hebrews 6. And we did read verse 18 before, so let's just read verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, a hope both steadfast and sure, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Friends, this hope is an anchor for us. It's an anchor that will hold us firm in the storms of life. When things assail us, when things come to us, when things that we're not expecting perhaps come upon us and can almost knock us off course. Friends, if we are anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ, if our hope is in him, if that living hope is there, we will not be knocked off course. Now, of course, if we're not hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ, if that hope is diminished, then we are far more likely to be knocked off course. We won't be anchored to that rock as we should be. But that's not what God has in store for us. The Lord wants each one of us, no matter what we may face in the days ahead, no matter what you might face in personal trials, or what we might face as an assembly, God wants us to be anchored to him. And he wants our hope to be in him. He wants us to be looking upward, looking to the future, so that we're not taken up by the things around us. When that happens, we won't be anchored as we should be and knocked off course very easily. And no matter what comes our way, we will not be knocked off course. This hope, friends, we have as an anchor for the soul. Friends, I don't know about you, but I want that for my soul. I don't want to be knocked off course. I want to stay on course. And it's so easy to find ourselves straying and wandering off course. Even without those storms, if we're not anchored, just a little ripple will take us off. Take us off course. If we're not anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can easily find ourselves wandering away from the path that God has for us. So let's make sure that we are firmly rooted in Christ. Our hope is in him and in him alone. Don't put it in your favourite preacher. Don't put it in a denomination of any kind. Put it in Christ. Put it in Him. That's the only anchor that will see you through those storms. It's interesting, he talks there as well, doesn't it? Where Jesus has entered, or Jesus has entered within the veil. Friends, that hope, that confident expectation, that hope in what the Lord Jesus has done for us, enables us also to come into the, right into within the veil, into that Holy of Holies. We can come into that place and meet with Him because we know what He has done for us. And then one more, 2 Corinthians 3. And verse 12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Friends, when this hope is lively and living in our hearts, we will be able to testify to it. We will be able to speak out and proclaim what He's done, because we're not looking down. You're not concerned about what other people will think about us. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eyes are upon Him. And God will give us the boldness that we need. We'll be enabled by Him to live for Him and to speak for Him, to serve Him, to do the things that He wants us to do. But when our hope fades, when it diminishes, that renders us weak and ineffective. And we won't be able to speak as He wants us to speak. We're far too concerned about what other people will say. But friends, that's not what God has for each of us. He wants us to be those who know something of that boldness in our speech. But back to 1 Peter 1 then, please. Let's read this verse again where we started. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy, and it is His great mercy, friends, you and I are sitting here this morning with that hope burning within our hearts, not because we merit it, not because you deserved it, not because you are anybody or I'm anybody. It's of the mercy of God this morning that you and I know something of this hope burning in our hearts, this sure expectation for the future. Who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We praise God this morning for His resurrection. And it's because of that resurrection that the Lord Jesus has been able and caused us to be born again to a living hope, which is steadfast. And also to obtain an inheritance. There is an inheritance that is laid up for us in heaven, friends. But also there's an inheritance down here as well that we can lay a hold of. There are things that God wants us to lay a hold of in this life as well. And when our eyes are upon Him, when our hearts are fixed on Him, then we'll be able to lay a hold of them. Which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Friends, there is an inheritance that is preserved for us and reserved for us in heaven, undefiled, imperishable. Where are you setting your, where are you looking for your treasure? Where are you storing your treasure? If it's in heaven, friends, it is kept for you, undefiled, imperishable, reserved for you. That's the hope that we have, friends. This is the hope God's put in our hearts. Let's hold fast to it. Let nothing cause it to diminish and waver in the days ahead. When all things will assail us, let's hold fast to what the Lord Jesus has done, to His death and His resurrection, through which God has caused these things to come alive in us. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank You for the resurrection of Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We want to thank You that that resurrection demonstrated that your son's sacrifice was absolutely complete. We want to thank you that it shows us that we too can live in victory with that resurrection life and through that resurrection life. But also, Father, we want to thank you for the hope that it's put within us, that one day we too will be given those resurrection bodies and we'll live with our Saviour forever. And Father, we do cry to you that you would help us to hold fast to that hope, that it wouldn't diminish within us. Help us to keep our gaze firmly upon you. Help us to live our lives closely to you, that we don't lose something of that hope, that it burns brightly within us, that it is lively in us, bringing about those things that you want to bring about. Father, help us in these days, we pray, to be those lights in these dark times, we pray. Father, we commit ourselves to you. Help us, we cry. Amen.